not strong enough. I need help if I am to have a chance of success. I gathered weapons to confront the awesome powers I seek to destroy. I purchased some of the finest gladiators in the Empire, killers of both men and beasts. But I know that such mundane items as swords and spears will not be enough. So I have gone deeper, searched harder, and learned many secrets. Magic is real, and I learned it could be controlled with enough focus. With it, I can cause great harm, although the cost to my mind is high. But if one aims to destroy a god, he must gather weapons that are up to the challenge.
The Legacy of Oris Lurko, Scion of Vulcan.
Did it work?
Did you win?
Get close to the blob, see if it reacts to me being next to it.
As Mr. Gilroy approaches it, it detaches itself from the rest of the cathedral and lunges for Mr. Gilroy,
that didn't work.
Who may want to make a dodge roll.
I fell. This is 85.
The gelatinous mass sticks onto the side of Mr. Gilroy. You can see it kind of sucking at him.
I just wanted to do the magic show.
As everyone else is standing around, you can hear a squelching sound as you see Mr. Gilroy take 32 points of damage.
Oh, God.
You can see his body is torn apart and sucked into the...
That is gross.
Mr. Rackley, if you're able to skirt around the blob without any problem. Dr. Larson and Mr. Eugen, as you're carrying Reverend Dubois between you, as you're trying to skirt around it, the blob suddenly lunges for you, but you're able to dodge out of the way. However, in doing so, Reverend Dubois, would you make a luck roll, please?
Yes, of course. I will make a luck roll. I failed my luck roll.
What is your size, Reverend Dubois?
Yeah, 14.
And Dr. Larson, what is your strength?
10.
As Mr. Eugen jumps out of the way of the blob, his lunge takes it past where Mr. Eugen jumped out of the way towards the Reverend Dubois, who suddenly stumbles. And Dr. Larson, you have a 30% chance to keep a hold of
it. Oh, 70.
The Reverend Dubois slips out of your hands and is grabbed by the blob.
I keep running.
A moment later, you hear a squelching sound as his body is torn apart.
I don't want to lose. I just keep running.
Body being crushed, blood starts spurting out, and then suddenly she screams again. You can see her body go rigid, and her arms go straight out from her, straight out perpendicular to her body, and her legs pop out perpendicular to her body, and you can hear a cracking sound as her pelvis cracks open. You can see her arms and legs being torn away from her body. Blood spurts out. There's another booming sound, and the building shakes, and dust falls, and you see Ellie's body laying there, untouched, innocent, peaceful. And then she screams again, and you see, boils start appearing on her face and all up and down her body and pustules. Just kind of looks like balloons under her skin that are inflating and deflating. They start popping and blood and gore and pus spurts all over. Ellie is laying there untouched. She's unharmed, just looking. There's another booming sound. This one is really close. Dust falls from the ceiling. There's a huge roar from just outside. The building starts to shake.
Don't worry, guys. I just lost 3 points of sanity. I'm okay.
As you look up, you can see the ceiling of the cathedral start to cave in. Massive stone blocks falling from the ceiling. Outside, you can see something. You can see this massive, dark shape pressing in on the cathedral. And the entire cathedral comes tumbling down on top of your heads. As you see the blocks start tumbling and the cathedral start tumbling in, and you're trying to jump out of the way and to not be crushed, you can see a massive stone block falls right on top of the altar and crushes Ellie under. You can just catch, out of the corner of your eye, you hear a woman scream, which is then quickly cut short as another large block falls and crushes on her. Eventually, the entire cathedral is just a pile of rubble.
I'm dead.
And as you're all lying there, buried in the rubble, you feel the ground shaking as something massively large moves past the cathedral further into the city.
You're hit. And you go stumbling.
All right, well, I will attempt to fall upon this thing that has attacked me and, you know, drive it to the ground.
That's an impale. It's a very sharp torch.
Alpha, you can attempt to dodge that. Oh, your dexterity now is 12.
No, I fail.
Oh, this small and lumpy thing has hit. Yep, running towards you has hit you with a torch. If you can hold it instant for another round, you might be able to set him on fire.
7 points of damage from smacking you.
Yes.
And then you're on fire for another 5 points of damage. I told you Gunther was the real hero.
This is the unluckiest werewolf in the world. Alfie, this thing has just hit you and set you on fire, standing right in front of you.
Oh, well, I freak out and I'll run right through him, and sort of maul him as I go. And
Gunther, you can try and dodge this horrible flailing beast.
No, I don't dodge.
Does he spray Gunther's blood, put out the flame?
It's like grab the cross, run at Alfie, and Gunther try to jab the cross into his eye.
You hit him in the eye with a silver cross. Or punch damage.
Burning werewolf in the eye with a silver cross.
Total 4.
Alright, so you smash your fist with the silver cross protruding between your fingers into his eye. And Alfie lets out a beast that was Alfie lets out a horrible scream, howl, and falls dead at your feet. Yeah, I'm gonna punch him.
Make a roll.
25. That's a hit.
Okay.
I suppose I have a small chance of dodging this.
Nope. Okay, that's 2 damage.
That, my friend, was a mistake.
Nope, that was a warning. No one tells me what to do.
This is a warning, and I'm gonna shoot him. Damage, it's, wow, that's a big gun. 14 damage.
Yeah, I'm dead.
As Mr. Black goes for his gun, I go for mine to shoot Mr. Black. 24, yes, Andy.
When he shoots me, I look really surprised, and I shoot him back. That's a 12, and the D10 is 9.
Oh, come on. So I shoot Mr. Black back. My gun has just malfunctioned. It's a 99.
I'm gonna shoot for 23, which is a pass, and that's D10. 8.
Yes, Mr. Silver falls to the ground with a stunned look on his face.
Here
This is all worth it. I swear this is all going to be worth it.
Oh, there you go. 2 years. There it is.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. Nicely done.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, that... Gunther was such a great character.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun playing Gunther.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just so much fun. I really wanted to have like an ancestor of Gunther's in this game or something. It was just so funny.
Yeah, there were some real good moments there, and obviously there are plenty of good moments that didn't even get into that. Probably filled a whole episode just with the highlight reel, to be honest.
Yeah, there were a couple more that I, you know, from the email chain that I wanted to put in there, you know, but they were kind of spread out over, you know, 20 or 25 minutes, and I just got lazy and didn't want to edit it down.
Like
that was just kind of the low hanging fruit, the easy ones to put together.
And 2 years, we started playing in February, right?
January.
First week, or was it the end week of January?
It was the end of January.
You remember?
It was
end of January, Wow. Yeah, time flies.
Yeah, it flies when you're killing each other.
Good moments from legs that could have gotten in there.
Yeah, I forgot legs.
I really like legs. That was a good scenario, too.
Yeah, any game where you get to play yourself is... something particularly fun. I used to do that as a regular thing for my gaming group for Halloween sessions. We would do a Call of Cthulhu game where we played ourselves, and there were rarely survivors.
That's a good idea.
I'm just proud I managed to make all those con rolls the entire time. Bitten first, live to the end.
Yeah, the odds of that weren't very high.
I didn't have good con. I did not have good con. I don't think I have myself as having high constitution. I just had lucky rolls. Apparently, something about me is repellent to giant spiders.
Yeah.
Good thing to know about myself.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You can rely on that.
It might come in handy one of these days.
Yep.
Yes. So, Invictus.
We're in Athens.
Yes. Or are we?
We think we are. When we woke up,
didn't we?
Yes. Do we recognize that we're back in Celia's house when we wake up?
Oh, sure. She actually came out asking what was happening because you were all screaming at each other. And
last I remember, I was running. I don't know about any screaming.
Yeah.
I'd probably right into a wall, wake up, and keep running.
Flamma was trying to hit Solus.
What else is new?
Yeah, nothing unusual about that.
But by the way,
I was insulting Flamma again.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was trying to come up with the mechanic. Mm-hmm. I was trying to come up with the mechanic. When you wake up, it doesn't take you a lot of time to realize you were having kind of the same dream. Now, the structure of the dream, the way it felt, didn't feel like a normal dream, right?
Right.
It felt like reality. So whenever you face an outworldly or supernatural situation moving forward, I would call that. I will say that you are not going to be sure if you're dreaming again, or if that is actually happening. You know?
Ah.
So what I was thinking is to reduce not your sanity, but the percentage of sanity that you use whenever you roll for it. So let's say that you got 50, and let's go ahead and roll a D10, everyone.
One.
No, you're lucky.
And D10. Also a one.
I got a 10.
Fine.
Okay, Sauls can barely tell dreams from reality anyway. too much time spent in his own apothecary.
Sampling his own wares.
Yeah.
Team?
Ten.
Ten.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, we got the whole range.
Yeah, you were... Yeah. Llama was affected fairly heavily by the pig people, if I recall.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes. Yeah, we found out he's terrified of pork.
Yeah.
Let's take Jim as an example. What's your sanity right now, Jim?
52.
52. Okay. So moving forward, whenever you have to roll for sanity, you're going to roll with 10 less. So that's going to be 42.
So you got a penalty, okay? Basically.
Okay. You got a penalty. You know, whenever you have to roll for sanity, because you are not sure if it is reality of something weird is actually happening.
Understood.
But when you lose sanity, you will lose sanity from the 52.
Understood.
Right. Now, if you lose, for instance, 2 of sanity and you're down to 50, you're going to continue to roll sanity, always with the 10 points penalty, which is going to be 40 the next time, and right. So forth.
Okay. Nope, I got
okay.
it.
Okay. So, currently, Decimus and Solus got lucky. Just 1 point, right?
Yep.
Okay,
32, 5, and Llama, 10. All right. So, I don't know. It makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Perfect sense.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. Okay, so, yeah, you basically start, you know, talking to each other, and you realize that you were having exactly the same dream. It was the extra sanity roll that I made you the last session. So you're in that point right now, where that's the starting point, this session.
Oh, same dream. Weird.
What does this mean, Didactus Maximus? I do not understand. How is this possible?
Very good question.
It's a vision from the gods, obviously. Don't you have an educate? Oh, wait.
You think it was a premonition?
Well, certainly seems plausible.
If
I have heard such things. Read them in my extensive reading of various epics.
I suppose the question is whether we can change it or whether what we've seen will come to be no matter what we do.
From my readings, usually trying to avoid one's fate is the instigator of said fate.
Yes, I think I've seen those plays.
Didn't end well for anyone, really.
Well, moving forward with our eyes open is probably the best we can realistically manage, but if this is a portent, then it means that our search for Taras will likely be fulfilled soon.
Yeah, at least we know.
He said we met him at a party.
Yes.
Right? Well, excellent. So we just need to sit here and wait until an invitation to a party shows up, yes?
Well, I think we should continue with our investigations. We want to go to the Acropolis and see if we can find out something where Decimus and Llama failed.
We did not. We brought back a prisoner that...
We succeeded.
Yes, yes,
that was
yes,
obviously
yes.
tied in.
We succeeded in identifying that
we'll
he was not there.
We'll talk about that later.
We questioned several guards.
Perhaps you should investigate somewhere else while me and Denitus visit the Acropolis. People low profile.
You didn't provoke the guards, did you?
Not in the slightest, of course not.
Who are you asking?
No, we never drew weapons.
I see. Well, you may have to... Okay, let's... What's the time now, Randall?
I don't
Is
know.
Is it the middle of the night?
Early morning.
Early morning.
Early morning.
Yeah. Before dawn or...
Oh, I'm sorry. No, after dawn. Like, it's could be an hour after the sun came out.
Okay, well, let's have a meal and head to the Acropolis, I guess.
I want to ask the owner of the establishment, or innkeeper, or whomever.
We're staying with...
The friend bartender who's constantly cleaning his glass with a dirty rag. if there's any big social gatherings, parties, or anything going on in the area soon.
Are we staying with Celia?
Oh, I thought we were. I thought we were in a hotel.
No, you're with Celia.
Yeah, we're at Celia's.
Oh, never mind then. I'll ask Celia.
She's probably the one that would know about parties, wouldn't she?
Yeah, she's a social butterfly, if that's what you can call a prostitute.
She actually mentions a few of them, but based on the leads you have, it doesn't sound like any of them will take you to Taras in any way. Like, there's one from a friend of hers that, you have seen the guy. He doesn't look like an important guy at all. Just, a merchant, and
merchant
the gathering
a
is more.
His name. That was the first clue.
There was like, he's not like famous. The party's not gonna be big. There are at least four more that she kind of mentions during the whole month that are gonna happen. But you don't seem to be able to relate. How will you be able to meet Taras in any of this? If that was the case,
well,
here's the thing, right? Celia is well aware of what you're doing. Celia is well aware that you're looking for Taras.
Right.
So no, none of the parties that she mentions to you could be a possibility for meeting him.
I should have made a note of this from last session, but how much time did we establish had passed between now and when the dream took place? A couple of weeks, wasn't it?
At least a couple of weeks, yes, a little bit more.
So,
well, he said we had met him a week ago.
Yeah, so let's we just have to carry on doing what we're doing and see what happens,
I guess. We know we have a week until something horrible happens to us, maybe.
Yes, perhaps we should hire more guards.
Get Flum a bigger sword.
Yeah.
Are you going to freak out every time we pass a pig, Flama? Come on. There are a lot of pigs in Athens.
Yes, and I will kill them all if I have to.
Can't oh, Jim, you're really breaking up.
He's largely speechless.
Ah, dang it.
He's babbling incoherently.
He's speaking in tongues.
Mention.
Pigs.
Oh.
It's weird because we have Jim hosting the call?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the quality of everyone else is good, yeah.
It probably just goes through Skype servers, doesn't it? So, yeah, I think it's...
All right.
Okay, shall we go to the Acropolis?
Yes.
We do that.
Okay. So, as I said, the Acropolis is one of the most important places in the city. Of course, Flam and... Decimus have been there before and made quite an impression on the guards. And you start going up the hill. You need to go through a ramp, a stairway leading to the top of the Acropolis. And from distance, you can see that there are still guards at the gate. Although The gate is completely open at this point. You need to understand this is really massive, right?
Yeah.
This is not a small gate. This is a massive opening.
Yeah.
Okay, you start going up. You're not the only one. So the guards don't take notice of you until you are actually there because of the amount of people that is going through. Let's make a party lock roll.
Party luck. Minus 60.
Minus 75.
Minus 50.
I seem to misplace my dice. Hold on one moment. Up to there. 53.
Just need to look at the sheet.
What is your luck?
You weren't rolling it. What is your luck?
Oh, my bad. 55.
Yeah.
Because of that team.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's Flama's.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Better, yeah.
Oh, wait a second. There we go. 18. That's a pass.
Nice.
Okay. At the moment you reach the top of the hill, the guards apparently are engaging a couple of men, therefore are truly distracted, allowing you to go in without being noticed.
See, I told you there was no problem with the guards.
Yeah.
With some other people, right?
The Rushes. Two people who happen to look just like Llama.
Actually, they seem quite tall, you know, rough. And when you pass by, they insist, no, this is the first time I'm here. I wasn't here yesterday. And you can get into the Acropolis while the other guards are still like either paying attention to this discussion or paying attention to other people.
That's what we did.
Right, the Acropolis is quite big. Obviously, there's the Temple of Athena, the Athena Nike. This is a small, beautiful temple celebrating the glories of Athens. There's a couple of sanctuaries around the Acropolis. A lot of people. There are statues, some places. There's obviously the Parthenon as well, which is a colossal temple. Also for you know, for Athena. And around, there's a small temple of Vulcan as well. But that's located at the Erechtheion in the Parthenon.
What's the Erechtheion?
Yes.
What?
Yes, that's the answer.
No, what is it?
It's this massive temple that I'm talking about. Yeah.
This is where we...
One of many massive temples in the Acropolis.
So is this a temple to Vulcan? Or...
No, this is the Parthenon.
Okay.
Temple of Vulcan's like a little smaller building.
Yeah, like, this is... You see that this is a place dedicated to you know, to many gods and goddesses, even heroes.
Yeah. Right. Bigger the building, the better the god, basically.
Now, something that you notice is that it contains a sacred olive tree. Apparently, the legend tells that it's the first of its kind. It's kind of a gift from the goddess Athena. It also contains what is called the Palladium, you know, ancient wooden statue of Athena. Also, Legend says that, you know, tells that it had fallen from the stars. So that's actually where the priest of Vulcan, Nikias, told you that. You know, Vulcan, the sign of Vulcan, will go to when he will be at the Acropolis.
Okay, so I'm actually just going to go up to people and start asking them about the sign of Vulcan and who would know him, where would he usually come and do things, and just general questions like that. Maybe if there's like a bit that's specifically related to the god Vulcan, then I'll go and ask around there, ask some of the worshippers.
You have the opportunity to go around and ask him, you know, there's a lot of people here.
Sure.
So you ask a few people, some of them have never heard of the sign of Vulcan. They come from afar. But a few people actually, yes, they're willing to tell you about the sign and the great artifacts he used to build for kings, for rich kings, and the magnificence of his of everything that he created. Basically, they different people you approach to speak about different some sort of instruments he created, but none of them actually met him in person.
Right. Does anyone say anything new that we haven't heard before? Is it all just the same?
No, it's just going over exactly the same thing that you've been over through several, you know, several conversations with people in Athens. But since you're asking around, at some point, you seem to, what seems to be a wealthy Athenian, he is surrounded by younger people. Apparently, he's some sort of a scholar. And he looks of about 60, but his build is very strong still. He doesn't seem that old, other than, you know, what is dealt by the wrinkles in his face. He approaches you and says, "Hi, how are you doing? I heard you were looking for, you were asking around for the Scion of Vulcan."
Yes. My name's Dedetus. I'm a surgeon. We were indeed looking for the Scion.
Oh, may I ask why? Are you interested on the Vulcan, on the Scion? I'm sorry.
Yes.
You're writing a book about him.
Hmm. We're actually... What? I'm just trying to...
Well, my name is Kefeus. I'm a scholar and a philosopher, usually around here, and I've met the Scion before. That's what I'm asking.
You knew him. Yes, we're eager to track him down. We'd very much like to ask him some questions about some of the artifacts that he designed, some of his creations, and we've had a fairly difficult time actually finding out any concrete information about him at all. So, any idea where he might be?
Quite, ma'am. No, I actually, it's been a while since I don't know anything about the Vulcan. I mean, about the Scion Vulcan. And I was curious to see why are you looking for him and see maybe if we can help each other, because I have an interest on finding the Scion.
Okay. So far, the only lead we have is Aras, who we understand might have been his son.
His assistant, yes.
Yes. He always referred to the Scion as father. I suppose if we could track this Taras down, he'd have a better idea of where the Scion is.
Yeah. They left together, so when I say that I haven't heard about the Scion, you haven't heard about Taras either, right? So it's very interesting, you know, that they kind of vanish from the Empire.
Yes.
It's kind of strange at the same time.
They did travel widely, I understand.
Around Athens. That's the strange thing. Like when they left, they seemed to be in some sort of hurry.
That's
Scion,
right.
And his apprentice were in kind of selling everything they had. So it's like they were getting ready for not coming back, in a way.
Do you know if they had? Well, we know they. Sorry.
Go on, Dedetus.
I was just saying, we know that the priests at the Temple of Vulcan didn't get along.
Yes.
With Scion. I can't really imagine they would have chased them out of town. It didn't really seem like they operated. But do you know if they had any other enemies that were?
No, and that's what I'm interested in, on what you had to say about that. To be honest, the discussion that the Scion had with the priest, it was something I was actually expecting, but the priest will, you know, he will never dare to go after the Scion or anything like that. Like,
of course not.
You know,
you said you were there for the, you said you were expecting the speech, rather. Did he discuss it with you beforehand?
I spoke with the Scion of Vulcan, and I was well aware of his position. as a philosopher, I was quite interested on his take on the human notion of gods and the relationship to men. What's your take on it, by the way?
Well, perhaps you could tell us, because we spoke with the priests, but obviously they were not inclined to share any information about that. I mean, we haven't found any other sources.
We understand the Scion claim that that the gods, or at least Vulcan, didn't exist.
Yeah, that's what really put Niki, the priest, off.
Yeah.
Nikias was actually expecting the Scion of Vulcan to be what he was actually called, you know, divine half-human, half-man being. And he was quite disappointed when the Vulcan, although he seemed to be divine in a way, he said that Vulcan didn't exist.
Why did he say that? I mean, all the priests would tell us is obviously that he was a heretic who said lies and blasphemy, but we don't actually know what his position was.
Yeah, the Scion didn't believe in these gods, and he kind of waved his hand around the, you know, pointing to the several statues and temples are around you there in the Erechtheion.
You say he didn't.
These gods, yes. But he said that anything that was not human was going to spawn a cult between humans because it was our nature. That's what he said. Now, he said there are beings that are dangerous and evil. We should be aware of, but apparently that we were so naive and distracted by all these beings that our imagination had created that we lost track of what was really important.
Have you encountered any of these evil beings?
Of course not. I'm just a philosopher. This is where I spend my time, surrounded by apparently fake gods. What do you think about that? Well, what's your take on all this?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that the gods are false, but I certainly think there's out there that are not good for humanity.
Well, like, can you name a few of them?
I don't know. Can I? I do have some mythos.
Yes, just you actually
drop some names.
You actually know
the ones that the Testament mentions, right?
Yeah. we know what, sorry? What was that, Randall?
Yeah, the ones that were mentioned on the Testamentum.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I'll talk about Ihort.
Ihort.
I'm gonna say...
probably not going to bring up Ihort, though, what with us trying to covertly...
Well...
Know about the big old Ihort. Yes, sir.
Make insight.
I hope there aren't any Ihort
four of you
wandering around.
Insight. yes.
I also pass insight.
10 out of 64.
Yeah, when you mention Ihort, he kind of you can see him. You can see him. You know, it's barely noticeable. You can barely notice that he's smiling, right? But he does, and then he goes back to his inquiring face and says, "Indeed, that name I have heard, but again, I'm interested in hearing."
I haven't been a high priest, my Hort. Would you like to come to my cave?
I'm still interested in hearing what's your take, you know, on these gods. What's your opinion?
The good ones or the evil ones? What? I don't know which set of gods he's referring to at this point.
With the inside roll, you were also able to tell that he's really trying to get you to talk, you know, about this.
Well,
this probably isn't the best place for this conversation. could we perhaps speak of this somewhere more not in the middle of a busy temple district?
Well, let's take a walk. I'm interested to hear, you know, everything you have to say about this.
He seems to be a philosopher, so I'm gonna try and engage him in some. Yeah. You know, he seems to want to talk philosophy.
If we're gonna blaspheme. Let's not do it at the foot of Zeus's temple or Athena's temple.
I'll say something like, can we really truly speak about, you know, the difference between a god and a being that's far more powerful than we are?
See what he says to that. Of a god?
Yeah, that sparks a whole conversation, you know, on the way out of the temple, and now it seems that you really have his attention, right?
Okay.
What's your persuade? So that's you and Solus who are the ones talking to the.
Oh, I'm good at this.
Oh, I'm good at this as well. 70.
85. That 95? Wasn't my roll. 85, and that's my skill, not my roll. My roll is 50. So, yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. Very so, good. What's your persuade?
And bargaining.
Persuade, Decimus?
Deditus. 70. Deditus?
Yeah. 70. Okay.
Yeah.
Make a roll. Because apparently Souls already failed. He is.
No, I passed.
Oh, you passed?
I rolled a 50. I rolled a 50. I have like an 85 in my persuade.
Okay.
I rolled 31 as well, so.
I put all my points in, like, fast talk, persuade, bargain.
Okay. So you start talking...
Talky skills.
You start talking about the difference between powerful beings and gods and what the difference could be, and that really engages Cephalus in the conversation. He's truly interested on hearing what you have to say about that.
Meanwhile, Decimus and Llama have fallen asleep in the middle of the street.
We're watching for attackers.
You're watching for attackers. Flama's watching out for pigs.
you know, in the middle of that conversation, he turns to you and says, "You know, actually, the position of the sun was very, very much like that. Like he believed that any powerful being could be mistaken by humans as a god. He was a very, you know, he was more a scholar and less an inventor, even though people in Athens believed that that what made him so great were his inventions. He actually only invented things to raise money for his travels. His true aim was to learn about our world, or rather, this world at this moment.
An admirable goal.
So,
I'm truly convinced that the scion of Vulcan was not a normal human being. Mm. His manner was that of a cold and caring researcher. He was completely unable to connect with people in a meaningful way. You know, sometimes his position was more like that of a man looking at a fish in a pond. And, you know, and one wonders what he was thinking. And you kind of come to the conclusion that was the way the scion actually looked up on humanity.
Do you think it's possible that the scion himself was not human? Was one of these beings not of our beyond our current understanding?
I'm completely sure that I'm almost sure you that the scion was not human. Yes. Now, what was he? That's what I cannot answer, right?
Mm.
I believe he was a traveler. He was a traveler from a different place in a human shell.
Did he have a big blue box?
I was about to ask that, too. Some very odd wardrobe habits, perhaps. A little silver stick that made noises.
No, but well, he had was
for this... you. I'm the Scion.
When he left,
I think we're on to something here, guys.
I think so too.
When he left, he was carrying this this huge box with three legs and a weird helmet.
Yes,
I have a lightning box, as we have heard it described.
Well, Yes. Yes.
Breaking up.
I just have a
I wasn't able
positive
to
feeling about it. Is it any better now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Cepheus, the real reason we're interested in tracking down the Scion is to combat this being Ihort. And we understand that the Scion created a powerful weapon, this box that you describe. If he doesn't think I'm completely crazy, I'll tell him some of the background about Arius Lurko and the events that have led us here.
Okay.
So he's vaguely annoyed that you're doing this, but he says...
You do all this while taking a walk with him around the Bartendon.
Don't trust this guy, and but whatever.
And make another persuade roll to convince him of what you are saying. So if you participate in the conversation at some point, you can actually do it as well.
Yeah, I rolled 23, so...
I'm not going to participate. Like I said, I'm kind of an... I don't want to tell this guy all this stuff, so I'm not going to negate Deditus in any way if he is going to try. So.
That was 23, well, Randall, so...
You certainly... Yes. Thank you. You certainly seem of keen mind and sure purpose. I would like you to meet a friend of mine.
His name's Ihor.
Let's do the following. Let's meet at the feet of Athena, Promachos, in an hour.
Okay. Is that?
Insight roll him just to like how up on how on the up and up is he?
Sure.
Oh yeah, he's good. He's such a nice guy. I trust him implicitly now. That would be a 96.
Okay.
Is that a statue
A statue, yes. It's a 30-foot-tall bronze statue, a statue of the goddess Athena. You know, the one that is holding a spear and a shield.
Right.
It is it's kind of in the middle of the Acropolis.
Okay.
And then, so do you agree to meet there in 1 hour?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
If my new best friend Kefia says so, it must be on the level.
Very good. So I'll meet you there soon. He leaves. Did anyone else pass an inside roll?
I can make an inside roll.
Okay. No one else is as suspicious of other people.
I fail.
I passed 26 out of 35.
Nope.
Flyman, you notice he was really excited, although. He was really trying to keep that in check.
Okay.
Boy, I can't believe I got so many unwitting sacrifices.
I'll keep that to myself for now.
They're going to make me cultist of the month for sure.
Okay. So, you stay in the Parthenon, you go around, maybe talk to a few more people.
Mm-hmm.
They will all seem. Mm-hmm.
When we're out of earshot of the guy, I'm going to kind of just mention, in a whispered aside to Deditus Maximus that I'm sure you noticed Deditus Maximus, but he was far too excited to than seemed than seemed normal. I do not trust this man.
Oh, yeah. With you here to protect me, Flammer, I feel confident that...
Oh, of course.
As long as he doesn't bring along his trained attack pigs.
Yeah, so... not to say we're in any danger, but just...
We're meeting in the Parthenon, aren't we? So it's, you know, it's a public place. It's
meeting in the middle of the Acropolis, and like the central square.
Yeah, I, you know, if he said something like "Let meet me in the graveyard at midnight," it'd be slightly different. But
though the last time our party did that, we met there.
Well. Maybe not so much, okay. Yeah, let's kill some time until that.
Okay. So time passed, and after an hour, you all go to the Athena Promachos. Mm-hmm. Let me see if this is how you actually pronounce it.
Sounds right to me.
That's the word.
Okay. Athena.
Promachos. Yeah. Now, when you start approaching the statue, you can clearly see there Kephaelos waiting for you.
Okay.
In the top of the statue with a little NES joystick, he then steers the statue up.
Is it drippings with pink goo?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Nothing unusual, you know. When you come and talk to him, he says, "All right, I believe you are ready to meet a friend of mine. Please come with me." He takes you back to the Parthenon, going around the place. He, as you are walking, he starts pointing to different places of interest for you, and he's clearly proud of showing you around the Parthenon. Mm-hmm. And after some time, you arrive to the small temple of Athena inside the place, where a young man is there apparently waiting for you. He's clearly a priest. He's clearly a priest, and if you all roll an empire, make an empire roll.
No.
03. Yes.
No.
Yeah, I fail. I nearly botched, but not quite.
Okay. So, Deditus, you clearly identify the man as a priest of Athena.
Okay.
Then Kephaelos comes to him and says, "Macarius, these are our new friends. Macarius is actually a priest of Athena. He's a dear friend of mine and a very good person to know. So I will leave you here, so you can talk to him, and I really hope the fortunes of Athena fall and protect you in your travels." He turns around and leaves. Macarius could be, you know, in his late 20s or early 30s. He's got green eyes. He's quite handsome. And after he introduces himself to you, you can notice that he's quite charismatic. He starts talking to you about the temple and Athena, mm-hmm. and starts walking around the temple, asking, you know, the same questions that Kephaelos already asked you before.
Right.
And at some point he says, "Well, it seems like you have impressed Kephaelos, which is not a small accomplishment. You want to find the sign of Vulcan, yes?"
Yes. Yes, we do.
That is our goal.
Very good. So let's speak truths before the Athena, you know, in her house. Tell me why you seek, and I may help you in your search.
I'm gonna tell him the same thing I told Gephaeus, that we are...
Okay.
Trying to combat
to strike down an evil god.
The great old one, Ihot. What could possibly go wrong? Come on now.
Hey, if Athena has our back, that'd be pretty cool. Just saying.
Well, to be honest, I'm also very curious about his fate. I believe the gods have set our paths to meet. So let's proceed to discuss of what I know, and let's see if we can help each other, okay?
All right.
Okay.
My friend Kefalos and I, we both belong to an old society. We basically try to shield it against the evil the lords hidden from the common man. Our aim is to protect humanity from certain threats and dark knowledge. We do this in the shadows. If
in the what, sorry?
Shadows.
In the shadows.
Shadows. Yes, in the shadows. So that's actually why we are called Societas Cryptagiris, or the Hidden Shield Society.
Okay.
I was hoping it was going to be Alpha Green.
Three. That would be three green, or we are in Greece after all. It'd be silly for them but if we're translating everything else into English.
Okay. when the sign was here in Athens, he clearly got our attention, you know, because of his behavior, his knowledge. He was definitely not a, yes, without a doubt. He clearly was not human. So we started to follow him. You know, we invited him several times to the Acropolis. And he was eager to talk to us. We will exchange information, actually. We'll talk about our current society, God, and whatnot. And he will listen to us. And we'll try to engage in a conversation, but it was quite difficult. Apparently, he was here just to watch and learn, and not to share much information.
That didn't but stop we, from making strange artifacts and selling them.
Yeah, that's something that he did just to, you know, he needed to survive and pay for his travels. And I believe the things he created were so simple to him. It was like if I asked, you know, carpenter to build a table or a chair, like a silly thing to exchange for more knowledge. You know, for more conversation. We kept an eye on him during all his stay in Athens. You know, his creations were quite wondrous, sometimes even dangerous. And often they seem like impossible machines. And I could tell you that some of those machines even harnessed powers to rival that of the gods.
Well, as I said, since we're trying to rival an evil god, or being, at least, that would be most excellent.
Unfortunately, we were never able to tell what his motives were, you know? And that's why we are still looking for him. We lost track of him, and we want to find him again. We need to. We cannot leave someone like him loose in the empire. Now, we don't know what he's doing or what his true plans are.
Okay.
He seems to have left in quite a hurry. That would imply that someone else was after him. If it wasn't you, it wasn't us, because we weren't here. It doesn't seem like it was the temple of Vulcus. Begs the question, who else is interested in him?
That's one of the main questions we have. Again, we kept a close eye on everything he was doing, all the contacts. Of course, there was some people that was trying to convince him to work for him, you know, to continuously create these machines, these instruments, powerful gods. I mean, powerful kings. I'm sorry. Powerful kings from afar will come and try to make a deal with him. Although no one actually tried to kidnap him or anything like that, because they were afraid of who he was. People actually believed he was divine.
Mm-hmm.
So they never took such a risky move against the Scion. What I can tell you is that we were never able to find out why, all of the sudden, something actually heightened the Scion. What it was, we were never able to tell. But it was not a man, I can assure you of that. I can assure you that. Yes.
Thinking back on the notes from Lurko that we salvaged, the reason we came here was because Lurko was in fact in contact with the Scion, was he not?
No, I thought we came here because Celia told us that.
Oh. I remember reading the notes that Lurko was looking for some sort of big super weapon, and I thought that was what we were here for.
Right.
Yeah, I thought Lurko knew of the Scion, but not that he necessarily was corresponding with him, but
okay,
he was going to come looking for him himself.
I wasn't sure on that.
Exactly, that was his plan.
Okay.
He heard that the Scion had a powerful weapon, so he was going to come here and look for the weapon so he could use it. And Celia also mentioned to you that there was no way for you to confront Ihort. Gladiator, so...
So this should be Lurko bumbling about Athens looking for the Scion, not us.
Yeah. Yeah, except for the part where he disintegrated into worms.
Besides that, yes.
Yeah. Well, okay, see, because I was thinking that if he had already contacted the Scion, maybe the Cult of Ihort was actually involved, but that doesn't seem to be the case. No clue.
Well, we can obviously benefit, from this situation. Our society is willing to help you on your quest to find the Scion. If you're willing to share his whereabouts and anything you find out about him once... If you're able to reach him.
I see no reason not to do that. Deditus?
That sounds like your organization would be a great asset to our investigation.
You've been doing this for, God knows how
much
long.
Much longer than we have.
We've been doing this for a couple weeks. So.
Very good. So here's what we know. The Scion of Vulcan left Athens with his assistant. A man I believe you already know whose name was Taras. They carried with them two inventions. One was about the size of a scorpion-ish weapon. It looked like a metal box with a lever, some sort of dial and crystal rods sticking out of it. It was mounted upon a three-legged strand. That's what I think the people... or what we believe was the machine capable of firing some sort of lighting bolt.
Yes, that was what we learned from the owner of his, what was formerly his workshop. He saw it in action at least once, I believe.
Gervasius, yes. That's what we have been able to gather as well. And now the other artifact was an oversized helmet. It was set with amber stones.
This is the first we've heard about the helmet, isn't it? Okay.
Gervasius did not mention a helmet.
The Scion and his assistant traveled north. We believe they left toward Delphi, but that's when we lost them. After that, we lost track of them, which is very unusual. Well, so here's what we can offer. Go to Delphi, seek out a Proxenus called Elphidius in this ring. He pulls out from his pocket a small ring. He gives that to you, Deditus.
Okay.
You can see that the ring is bearing the image of a shield with in its place with a laurel crown.
Do you have a secret handshake
laurel?
Too?
Yes. Now, make a spot hidden roll, the four of you.
I notice a deadly poisonous needle embedded in
there. Yes, I pass.
Seven.
Will.
Pass.
I fail.
Okay.
I botch.
Okay. So while Flamma is looking around you know, trying to
see if some people
is trying to stab you from behind. Deritus and Decimus, you notice that he wears a similar ring, but instead of a laurel crown, his ring has an owl's head, but it also has a shield in it.
An owl? Is that, sorry? A bird?
Yes, owl. An owl.
Right.
Yes.
Just Cub Scouts now in the Order of the Shield or whatever you
call it. Tell Elphidius that I send you, and that he must arrange a meeting with the Pythia.
Oh my goodness.
If anyone can help
in the Oracle of...
Yes.
Correct. If anyone can help you, she can. And hers is the voice of Apollo on Earth. So you must meet with the Oracle at Delphi.
Oh dear.
It's not like we haven't had any issues with strange visions recently. Sure, why not? Yes.
I'll mention to Macarius about the dream that we had, and ask him if he has heard of things like this happening before, or knows why we would receive such a vision.
In the dreams, Terrace said it was the curse of Athens or something.
That's right.
Actually, he just said it was the curse. He didn't specifically say it was the curse of Athens, but that's the only curse I'm aware of at the moment. Like, could be.
Yeah, actually, Macarius seems really surprised and says it's very unusual that a dream is shared between several people, and I'm surprised it happened to you, and but it does nothing but to make you even more important in this quest. There is a so-called curse in Athens, which we believe was caused by the Scion of Vulcan himself.
The curse was caused by the Scion, you say?
Yes. It started happening when he started appearing.
Oh. Do you think it was the Scion made it himself, or someone was targeting the Scion?
No, we heard his workshop was never affected by the curse.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yes, and we have been able to corroborate that fact. The thing is, whatever made the Scion come to Earth, is what caused this kind of curse, what people are calling a curse. But whoever he is or whatever he is, he's definitely the source of this. Now, usually those dreams come... Was this like a real dream, you know, like if it was actually happening?
Yes, it felt extremely real. Isn't that right, Flama?
We have heard stories about this from different people.
He doesn't like to talk about it.
It's like those dreams will come as scenes from the future, and we've heard that some people have been able to change the future by taking some precautions. So, if I were you, I will, you know, try to pay attention for a place that looks like the place you found yourselves fighting this creature, and take some precautions. Basically, that's all I can say. I honestly, as I said, I've never heard of this before, but we'll keep a close eye on you in case you need our help, okay?
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I need to return now to my worldly affairs.
Of course.
I just hope that your quest is on the favor of Athena, and that you will be able to find Scion and help us all.
Yes.
Of course.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your assistance.
No, thank you. And he will... start walking with you outside of the temple and through the Parthenon.
Excellent.
Okay. You guys, I think we can stop it here, and next time we can start when you go to Delphi, if that's what you want to do.
Okay.
Okay.
So did we just join a cult? I feel like we accidentally just joined a cult.
No, there's a difference between a cult and a Okay, we joined
a group of individuals concerned with otherworldly beings.
Hooray!
You joined a cult. Detetus and I are just along for the ride.
Yeah.
You'll notice Detetus did all the talking as well as
or Decimus and I.
Yeah, Decimus.
Yes.
I have a funky new signet ring. Clearly, I'm a member.
So, me and Detetus joined the cult. You two just joined as henchmen.
Yes, so that's really kind of what we do.
If anything, it makes you more expendable.
We will see about that. All right, guys. So, talk to you next week. Then.
They will help us out by conveniently sending a replacement.
Indeed. Okay.
We can only send up to 4 people. No more, no less.
Okay. Have a good week, guys.
Yep.
See you later.
Bye.
Good luck, guys.
Bye.
Bye.